What's up, everybody, and welcome into Good Karma Wrestling right here on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm, I'm Jonathan Hood from ESPN Chicago. And, well, Gabe Neitzel, who usually is with us, is going out to Mexico to find out who the real El Grande Americano is. He's behind on the news, and he's not here.
I tried to do it. I went to Mexico. I was amongst the people. I talked to them about El Grande Americano. I failed, so Gabe's going to follow up and make it happen.
Of course, he'll get it done in his golf gear. I'm sure he'll find a way. Please like, share, subscribe, and comment to everything we do here on Good Karma Wrestling. We are growing as a channel every day because of you. So please share our broadcast. Of course, we are live every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific, right here on YouTube. And so make sure that you share out our broadcast because we love talking wrestling with you. Make sure you comment on all of our topics we have every Thursday right here on Good Karma Wrestling. Well, as always, we've got so much to talk about, but there's always a lead story before we really get underway. So what's the big item of the day as far as pro wrestling, Brian?
Hood, you join Busted Open every Sunday, 9 a.m. to noon. Bully Ray this week on Busted Open had an idea for Oba Femi. Says night one main event should be Oba versus Brock. It should be Brock's career versus Oba's title shot. Oba wins, retires Brock. Then the next night, Oba versus Roman, Oba wins the title. So, is Oba main eventing both nights of SummerSlam an option you'd be into?
Okay, so Gabe and I went through the scenarios last week. And so, something that I did not bring up that I'm going to bring up to you is Brock Lesnar ready to retire? Because, I mean, listen, I don't know the answer to the question. The reason why I ask is because, well, SummerSlam happens to be in Minneapolis, the home of Chad Gable and of Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar is, quote unquote, retired at this time, as we well know. The papers have been filed. So I'm thinking that Brock Lesnar has to be in a high-profile match. If he's not ready to retire, he's not retiring. But I think that it's a missed opportunity to be able to have a big event like this in Minneapolis and Brock Lesnar not being part of it, or something happens. Brock's not winning the title, so maybe he should retire. Wrestling twice, that's the other thing too. Roman Reigns is in this whole vortex again with the Bloodline. Bloodline 5.0, here we go, right? So isn't it likely that Cody Rhodes has a program with Oba Femi in which Cody loses the championship after his Gunther thing? See, there's a lot of plates spinning in the air right now. But the one thing I can tell you is I don't think Lesnar is retiring at SummerSlam.
Well, the only thing I keep getting hung up on is Cody losing the title to Oba. That has to result in a Cody heel turn because Oba is going to be the babyface in that situation. The fans are going to want him to win it. If Brock ends up costing Oba, then we get round three at SummerSlam, and then Oba's not winning the title, then we're getting Cody and Cody and LA Knight? Like, is that a main event you're into for the title?
No. No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
If Oba's not retiring Brock, and I agree, maybe Brock's not ready to retire, then it does take away from the WrestleMania moment. And WWE, over the last year, 2 years, they have those moments, the Cena heel turn, the New Day heel turn, the Brock retirement, but then nothing comes after it. Or they almost go backwards, and this would be another one of those situations. If it's like, oh my God, Oba retired Brock, but then Brock got the win back, and now Brock's doing other stuff. How is that helpful to anyone?
Yeah, so it's not like they're in a booking quandary. They know exactly what they want to do. We just can't figure it out at this time.
Right.
But I'm just trying to figure out, like, so could there be a scenario in which Oba Femi does not win King of the Ring and also does not face Brock Lesnar? And if that's the case, then what's next for Oba Femi? Because you can't just put him on ice, right?
Right. And that's the thing. Looking at the bracket, it's Oba versus Dom. Javon Evans has advanced on the other side, and he's going to face either Jey Uso, LA Knight, Keys, or Finn. So you assume Uso or Knight there. None of that excites me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what of those options? We're like, all right, like, it'd be cool to see. Like, Javon Evans is not there yet. Dom versus Cody? For the title?
Well, look, we frown at that, but Dom is one of those up-and-coming stars that the company covets.
Yeah.
But I don't see him in the world heavyweight title picture. I see him in the title picture clearly in Mexico, but in the WWE, I mean, so now that is Cody Rhodes against the entire Judgment Day. And right. And to me, for Cody, a little bit of a step down. If yeah. Dom was on his own, say Dom with Liv, right? And that was the combination. Okay, fine, because it's Dom pretty much on his own with help from Liv. But now, and again, the Judgment Day has got all these different people. Does Cody want to do that? And does the audience look at Dominic Mysterio as a future world champion in 2026? I think the answer is no to that.
No, I think maybe a year ago they would have, but they've cooled him off so much that I probably don't see it. And then that's why there's Jey Uso and LA Knight. If you run that back, like, Oba has to win. Like, there really are no other options besides Oba winning King of the Ring. And then you put him in the main event and he has to win the title there also. Like, the Brock part is interesting, but I feel like he has to be retired there. Like, that is the only way you continue to make Oba a star.
So we don't get our Gunther Brock match, huh?
But then why the Oba part? Like, I guess we still would have the Oba moment of Oba winning the title night two. But, like, Brock being retired twice, like, what does that do for everyone?
Well, I'm not saying Brian's going to be retired twice. I'm saying that the way Oba Femi put it in his last promo, he says, 1-1, I'll yeah. see you down the line. Down the line does not seem like August. Down the line seems like Survivor Series.
Honestly, you talk about down the line stuff, the way WWE booking is right now, we're getting Brock and Roman at SummerSlam. Down the line, it's going to be Oba and Brock at Survivor Series, champ versus champ.
I think it's all on the table. I can't say no to it. I'm just saying, like, the thing that we all think is going to happen is that Brock Lesnar takes on Oba Femi at SummerSlam. And the way Oba put it, I don't think down the line, it's later on in the summer. That's right. What we're looking forward to, SummerSlam, but I don't think that's happening. I think they have Oba going into a different direction. I agree that the WWE should put a rocket up Oba's ass like they did Kurt Angle. Yeah. Because you're catching in a bottle. If you feel like Oba's over, you feel like that he's accomplished a lot already in the matches he's in, then put the title on him. And I don't think that's Roman's title. I think that's Cody's title.
I don't think it matters, honestly. Like, just put a title on him. Put one of the world titles on him. Like, you need to capitalize right now. You have this lightning in a bottle. They've had these opportunities, and they don't pull the trigger. Like, they didn't do it with Fatu. They didn't do it with Braun. They didn't do it when Dom was as hot as he is. Don't let this pass again. Like, you have to put the belt on him somehow, some way.
Yeah, but I think going back to the Brock Lesnar thing, you know, there's opponents for Brock as well. Brock's never said he wants the world title. We sure. expect him to be in Minneapolis. But again, you have a career killer in the company. So the career killer won't be able to do the honors and take care of Brock Lesnar. Like, Brock's okay losing.
Right.
But it seems like he wants to go have another run at this thing. Like, he wants to continue. I don't know. I don't know the answer to it. I really don't.
It's just in such a weird spot. Like, it's just... It feels so direct. They feel so short-sighted where they'll tell us, like, oh, it's a slow game. But, like, it doesn't feel like that. Like, they book for these moments, and they get the reaction. They're like, oh, crap, now what do we do? Like, they just get stuck. It's very odd.
Well, you know why it's odd? Because you and I work for Good Karma Sports, and there's only one direction, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like this scattershot, you know, we're going to do this. We're going to throw this against the wall. No. In WWE... You got to answer to ESPN and TKO and, you know, and everything else that's around it, all the sponsors, everything else, and what they want, right? It's Peacock as well. Isn't that where Saturday Night's Main Event is? Is that on NBC?
Yes.
Peacock.
And coming up soon, a Sunday night main event.
I saw that. They're moving it. It's over the holidays, right? The July 4th holiday?
I forget the date, but yes, they're calling it Sunday night's main event, which just feels like a PLE.
See, it's too many people to answer to, right?
Uh-huh.
So I just think that this is pretty difficult, I think, on Triple H. I mean, you should be able to have one lane to be able to go and do things. But, of course, as we've documented on this show, as soon as you pick a lane, here comes TKO flying out of nowhere saying, I want this. And here comes ESPN saying, I want that. You know, so that's why it's difficult. But I think that Oba Femi, the overarching point, Brian, is that He's got a very bright future. Mm-hmm. I think he should be world champion because there's a lot of momentum there. And so I think he should be world champion. If he's not world champion at SummerSlam, he's going to be world champion to me in 2026. They'll find a way. I feel like the money's in Roman. Roman now part of this bloodline and now feuding with his cousin. That's like to me, Roman needs a fresh opponent. But I think that from Cody's standpoint, Cody and this thing with Gunther and with Sami Zayn, I think that that's going to be a match. And then when that's done, I think that clears the pathway for Obafemi to take on Cody Rhodes. But we'll see.
If Oba doesn't win the title at SummerSlam, I don't think he wins it in 26. They've made it to where the title changes are only happening at these tentpole events, these marquee things. And yes, once in a blue moon, you'll get a random show. I don't think Survivor Series is big enough for an Oba title win. I mean, he doesn't win it in August. He wins it in January at the Rumble, or they save it for Mania.
They might save it for Mania, but he's not Daniel Bryan. You don't have to wait so long.
Right, I agree.
You don't have to delay it like they did for Daniel Bryan, B-plus player, winning the championship in New Orleans. You don't have to do that. I mean, he's hot now. Yes. WWE needs something hot now, so do it now.
Agreed.
Oh, he's unstoppable, man, and he's fun to watch. But the booking, just remember, this is on Triple H and his staff, but also on all of the powers that be that he's got to serve. All the matches that you got to put out there. And it's kind of like, man, it makes the roster seem small. We talk so much about the top eight or top 10 wrestlers, men and women in the company, but the rest of it seems like it's a long mid-card and they're not doing enough with it just yet. AEW does a really good job with their mid-card, but WWE, it's a slow churning boil. So we'll keep our eyes on what's happening with Obafemi and whether or not he is the world champion or there's going to be retirement at SummerSlam. We've got three big topics. Let's start with number one, Brian.
Yeah, we mentioned his name already. We talked about the mid-card and guys being over. Chad Gable with a massive pop on Monday, making the save for Rey Mysterio. What's the ceiling for Chad Gable?
Okay. So one thing I don't want for Chad Gable is to spend time with Otis and Maxine.
Okay.
So because otherwise you're the same character. Let's not go back to apologizing to them or talking to them. I don't want to see that on my TV.
Yeah.
The ceiling for him is a mid-card championship. You see, the problem with Chad Gable, it's not his fault, it's the WWE's fault, is that he's too much on the nose of being Kurt Angle. That's the problem. Like, Olympic gold medalist, great wrestler, a great personality. You can tell he put a mask on for over a year. Okay? Did the comedy stuff with Otis. Okay, now it's time for him to give us, dare say it, a Chris Benoit run in WWE. Ooh. Or like we saw with Eddie Guerrero. Or like we've seen with other wrestlers that are just about wrestling. Entertaining, we already know that's in his repertoire. But the guy that can go, we've always known he can go. But he's been held back because too much on the nose of being Kurt Angle. And now that he's taken the mask off and now that he's apologized to a number of the luchadors, it's time. If you don't think that Chad Gable's entertaining just as a wrestler, go back and look at him as a tag team wrestler with Jason Jordan. Oh my God, the guy, amazing. So I think it's time. I think mid-card championship, I think might be a ceiling, or AEW.
I mean, yes, AEW seems like more of the home run. I just worry with the mid-card. You talk about them having such an expansive mid-card. The reports come out this week with Dragunov, who we haven't seen on TV in a little bit. They look at him as just an interchangeable mid-card guy. And I feel like they think that about a lot of the mid-card and a lot of the mid-card titles, where the IC title and the US title, they're there, but like they're not featured prominently. And that's why it's a weird spot for Gable right now, where we saw this starting to peak over a year ago with Gunther, or if not even 2 years ago, with the IC title. Like, they should have pulled the trigger then. When they had his kids front row and they were doing all that stuff, they could have put the IC title on him then and captured lightning in a bottle. They don't. He still somehow comes out of it ahead with the El Grande Americano stuff. And even looking at the champs right now, the IC and the US titles are held by faces. You have Penta on Raw. You have Trick, who I think is a face on SmackDown. Like,
yeah.
who does he beat for the title? Because he deserves a Minneapolis moment also. Like, you want him to retire, Brock? You throw those two in together in Minnesota?
Brother, could you imagine? Could you imagine?
It would deliver.
Well, now you have an instant baby face. Like it's already made. You are the one to retire Brock Lesnar. Now, again, for a slow boil company, that's a little too quick.
Sure.
We're just in June. But that's something where, Brock, are you ready to retire? And that's the other thing. Again, I don't know if Brock wants to retire. Now, I have no idea. But if he does and he has his pick, Chad Gable would be a great example of that. Could be like, you know what? I'm a serious wrestler. I'm an Olympic gold medalist. I know you're a great wrestler and a great brawler, Brock. You're a UFC champion. That's a main event at WrestleMania. And by the way, based on WWE booking lately, that could be night two at the end. Seriously.
Sure. I agree. I don't know if they agree with us, but like that would be amazing to see. And even him like winning the IC, him versus Penta is weird. Like you have two baby faces there. And I guess they've been doing a lot of this gray where they don't really care. You don't need baby face and heel square off and pick a side. So maybe that is it. Maybe he beats Penta for the IC title and we just move on and that's the moment for Gable. But that just feels weird.
How often do you get two wrestlers with cauliflower ears in the same ring? I think that's a thing.
Yeah, that's a part of the story.
That's a thing. I know that you and I have not talked about it, but I talked to Neitzel about this last week. Just how incredible El Grande Americano against the original was just amazing television. I mean, Brian, so I know you love your carnival wrestling. I understand that. And you know I love my classic wrestling. But you know what? We brought our likes of wrestling together, you and I, in which you had a blind comedian that was a blind comedian involved in the storyline. You had an announcer that was fired. And as JBL said, last time I saw her, she was in a tussle in an elevator in Florida. Okay. And you get the story of two mid-card guys in WWE. Mm-hmm. You put a mask on them. And the audience knows that they're not Latino, but yet people are into the story where they're crying and throwing babies in the air for El Grande Americano against Americano. Uh-huh. I just think that's the reward for Chad Gable, that he took the mask off, exposed himself. Everyone knew it was him. And so now the reward is, hey, man, we know that you can entertain. Now it's time for us to push you. And if he's not going to get pushed, And for him to be a meaningful wrestler, then let him go. Release him.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. I didn't know he wrestled. What did he say after the match? 12 years?
Yeah, like it's been that long. That's insane.
Oh,
just come on, even man. Some of the comments from like people in the – I saw Braun Strowman this week say like, oh, yeah, that's why I love wrestling is that match. Karrion Kross basically said, if you want to show someone one match to get them to fall in love with professional wrestling, show them that one. Because like you said, it included everything. Like – that match, it is the highest rated WWE match according to Meltzer. Like, if you consider it under the WWE umbrella, like, it did everything right. He deserves credit for that. Kaiser does as well, but I feel like they're just going to let it go. Like, they're like, all right, we got our moment. Let's move on now.
No, that doesn't wash, brother.
Yeah.
You can't do all that work and great work, too. Something that was a blow off on Raw, right?
Right.
Becomes a 45 minute classic on AAA. Undertaker Booker of the Year. Uh-huh. And so I would say that you reward Chad Gable for the great work that he did with Kaiser for Americano against Americano. To me, I don't think there's any question that he should take on some of the best wrestlers in the mid-card and be able to be champion. And people can look at him and as the old Intercontinental champion used to be the workhorse champion.
Yeah.
Like we know that Golden Boy, Cody Rhodes, he's the top of the card, and Roman Reigns the top of the card. But it doesn't mean that in the next level, at the Intercontinental or U.S. title picture, that Chad Gable just can't work and just give you classics to really legitimize what they do in WWE.
Completely agree, but I just feel like that's such an old-school mindset that they don't fall into. Like, I'm just looking, like trick how many times he's defended the title hasn't been much since he won it. Like, you have a couple Sammy matches and that's really it. Like, he has the title, which is great, but that's it.
But Triple H is supposed to be old school.
I agree.
I mean, he's got Killer Kowalski at the top retiring people. he's got Gunther. That's old school.
Trick has once. He has defended the title once since he won it at Mania. And that was that Backlash against Sammy. Everything else has been house shows.
You know what? Look up Liv Morgan. Same thing.
Has she defended it at all?
I haven't heard that song since WrestleMania. I think she wrestled this past week, but I've not seen Liv Morgan on a regular basis in the ring.
She's trying to win Queen of the Ring, of course, as a champion.
Makes sense, huh?
Uh-huh.
I feel like I haven't seen enough of Liv Morgan since WrestleMania.
Liv has had two matches since Mania, one against Sol Ruka, which is a non-title match, and then the Queen of the Ring match this past week. Reminder, WrestleMania was in April. We're now in the middle of June.
I understand they don't have a lot of house shows, but my God, not even on this international trip, you don't think they should be wrestling too. I don't even see that. So that's a problem. So I think we're done with Chad Gable. I think we booked the territory for WWE on how to handle Chad Gable. You say that I have an old school mindset. I say that there's nothing left. Enough. There's no more cartoon character Chad Gable for me. It's the straight-on wrestler that can give you great matches. That's what I see.
Fingers crossed. I'm trying not to get my hopes up. I loved hearing that reaction on Monday, but I'm managing expectations when it comes to him.
Leave your comments in the chat regarding Chad Gable and also what we think about Obafemi. It's all part of Good Karma Wrestling. We got number two now on our ledger for Good Karma Wrestling.
We've talked a world title. So, plain and simple, who is the best world champion in pro wrestling today?
So, Brian, we have three choices on the main level, right? Nothing against Karrion Kross and MLW. I'm talking about...
What about Impact? The world champion being, you know...
Santana. Mike Santana.
Oh, okay. Good for him.
Don't do that to Mike Santana.
He's going to be in WWE in a month, I'm sure.
He is not going to be in W anyway. So we're talking, we'll put it to the three of MJF and Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns.
Yep.
Okay. You'd be hard pressed to find anyone working harder than Maxwell Jacob Friedman, the AEW champion. He's on TV when he doesn't have to be on TV. His matchup against Roosh a couple weeks ago, pretty strong.
Yes.
Roosh, who I don't even know if he understands it's a work or not, this whole thing. I think he thinks it's real. He takes on MJF in a tremendous matchup. To see Darby Allin carry the championship and MJF take it back sonically, I just thought that was a great match and great for Darby Allin as well, but great for MJF because he relinquishes the championship and then wins the title back. Nothing against Cody and Roman, but I just feel like Cody Rhodes in a matchup against Gunther, 10, 12 minutes, foot underneath the ropes, wasn't great. Roman Reigns, you know, a really solid matchup, a very, very good matchup against CM Punk, which we'll talk about a little bit later on, CM Punk, but also, you know, he wins the title back. But these guys are more on the mic and trying to set up stories versus what we see in the ring. The in-ring work for MJF is better than the other two champions, and I don't think it's even close. Maxwell Jacob Friedman is the best world champion going today in professional wrestling. He is, for a guy that says, I don't have to wrestle every week, when he does wrestle, it's special. And also, this is the MJF that doesn't need a whole bunch of guys around him. The first two title reigns, yes. Now, he's just finding ways at the end to be able to win matches. So, thumbs up to MJF. He's the best world champion in wrestling today.
I completely agree, and I honestly don't even think it's very close right now. Like, we always have the debate in sports of, oh, if you're starting a franchise and you have the number one pick, who are you taking? I think it's MJF right now. Like, everything he does, he elevates everyone around him. And yes, in AEW, we get the bangers, we get the matches. And you're like, okay, like, build a company around that from a wrestling standpoint. But he does the other stuff also. He's in movies. Like, he should be courtside at Madison Square Garden. Like, he's a celebrity at this point also. And he's breaking through that barrier. And the mic stuff, With Roman and Cody, yes, they tell great stories, but they also fall into that rut where it's, you know, the paint by numbers and it's the same stuff over and over again. MJF's different every week. It doesn't matter who he's with, he's going to elevate them. Even the Darby stuff where you, even you personally, you may not have been fully in on Darby as world champion, but MJF brings you in and dropping the title and doing this and that. Like, he is the top of the top in all of pro wrestling right now.
When you think about heels and baby faces, Brian, in AEW, they all want a shot.
Yep.
I've not seen this since Ric Flair 85, 86, when you had heels on, you know, kind of off the side there. Yeah, you know what, Ric Flair, I know you're the champion, but I'm looking forward to facing you one day. And the baby faces that were red hot, they wanted a shot of Ric Flair too. That's what we're seeing in AEW, where you're having on one end Andrade El Idolo, and then you got Kevin Knight, you've got Mark Briscoe, and you got Samoa Joe. It's like, it's amazing. The baby faces and the heels all want it. But see, that's great storytelling. Mm-hmm. For a company that we criticize over the years about not telling a great story, these guys all want a part of MJF. They want a piece. They want the World Heavyweight Championship. And so, to me, that tells me that's great work, where everyone, they're all coming at MJF.
And I think the best part of that is, as that's all going on, the inevitable is Ospreay beats MJF for the title at Wembley.
Yeah.
Like, we all know that's where this is headed, but we're still interested in everything leading up to that because they're doing so many other things right now.
Yes, we think that Will Ospreay is in Wembley, all in, wins the championship. But there's this feeling, this little rumble of, what if it's Ospreay against Kenny Omega? And my thought is, like, no, Will Ospreay's been through a lot.
Uh-huh.
And this could be a huge crowd. There might be late ticket sales. I don't know if it's doing really well right now.
It's not. I've seen people criticize the fact that it's the third time there, but...
Yeah, I mean, but it's a huge venue.
Yes.
And so if it's Ospreay, the coronation of Ospreay winning the championship is worth the price of the ticket. If you're in London or if you're going to fly to see that, you want to see that.
Right.
So I think that he's going to be world champion as well. Yes, I did criticize the Darby championship because I thought it should have been a smooth transition from MJF to Will Ospreay. But I felt like AEW was trying to steal some headlines from WrestleMania while Darby wins the championship in Washington State. So I don't know. But I just want to make sure MJF gets his flowers. And of course, he'll tell you how great he is. That's fine. No problem. That's annoying. But I know, watching him, that he's doing great work.
It's unbelievable. Looking at WrestleTix, by the way, it hasn't been updated in about a month, but at that point, there was like 11,000 left, 24 distributed. But it holds over 36,000.
You know, you give it time, it'll be, that's still a good number, and they'll probably have over maybe 1.5 million gate, something like that. But we got time. But with Ospreay, especially when he wins the Owen against Swerve, more and more people will realize, oh, this is the match that we're getting. I got to get there. I got to see it.
You're also going to get Mercedes or Athena in a women's title match. There's the Foley rumors out there about one more match. Maybe they throw that on there. Like, I think they'll be okay.
So three-way with Foley, Ospreay, and MJF.
Yeah!
What a time for Briscoe to turn heel to take on Mick Foley for his last match. That'd be awesome. That'd be great. Big garbage pail match. That'd be great. Foley wants one more match, and it's going to happen in AEW because no one clears you like AEW.
Hey, I saw him against Invisible Man. He can still throw those punches and take a bump. Foley's back.
You have film of that, don't you? Is that on our YouTube channel?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, youtube.com. Look for Good Karma Wrestling. There's a lot of shorts from Brian's time in Las Vegas, so... check those out. Just go through the shorts. You'll be able to find some of the exclusive video and interviews from Brian Rhodes.
That's right.
So, yeah, so that's how I look at it, Brian. I think that MJF's doing the best work. And I guess the other part of this conversation is, so what can Cody and Roman do to be able to get that top spot?
Not tell the Bloodline story anymore. Cody turned heel. Like, just something different with those two. Like, we know they can do it. They're just not.
Which one would you prefer, Cody heel or just ending the bloodline cold?
I prefer Cody heel because I love Cody as a heel. Like, I just feel like there's that edge to him and the way he can tell stories there. Like, babyface Cody has sort of run its course right now.
So you mean heel Cody like he's like he is with Sami Zayn? Is that what you're saying? Yes,
exactly.
Blowing him off. Let me just tell you, you might get your wish, sir.
Nope, not falling for it.
What if?
Not falling for it. He's just going to get a shot, and he's going to end up losing to him. Like, not falling for it.
That would be fresh, though, in a three-way. Because Sammy stuck his beak in there in the matchup, the verbal back and forth between Gunther and Cody this past SmackDown, right? Mm-hmm. So what if it's a three-way and Sammy sneaks up and rolls up with a pin and then wins the title that way? Wouldn't that be something?
That'd be wonderful, but I'm not getting my hopes up.
This has been your dream.
You had it in Montreal. You had the silver platter right there. Him beating Roman would have been a moment. But
let me tell you something, bro. If he wins the world's championship, you can't be on board. You're disqualified.
Why?
No. You had the one-on-one with him. He didn't see himself as world champion. Remember?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So now, if he does win the world championship, you're out.
I think it's more likely at this point, because I've seen those fantasy booking on social media, that El Grande Americano is taking on El Generico at AAA, then Sammy is going to win a world title. Just saying.
Please, God, let that happen.
Taker.
What is next, sir?
All right, John Alba pointing out on social media that we are halfway through the year, and Dave Meltzer already has 19 five-star or greater matches this year in 2026. What has been your favorite match of the year so far as we hit the halfway point? 19.
Okay, well, poor Dave. That's my number one thing. Poor Dave. He's like Grandpa at the end, Brian. You just have to take the keys.
Okay.
That's what it is. That's what at some point, he's been going to the grocery store. He's been going to the department store. He knows his way around. But at some point, he loses it because you say, where's Grandpa been? It took him an hour to go around the block. He forgot where he's supposed to be. That's where we are with Dave Meltzer. Honestly, I know that I don't have to look at the list. I know a lot of them are CMLL matches, probably maybe a AAA match like this one right here where we're talking about the Americanos. But, to have that many matches that are five-star or more matches, I know it's his own opinion. It's just a bad one. It's just a bad opinion. That's all.
So we have one CMLL, one AAA, one Riot, which is in Mexico.
Yeah.
And then 4 New Japan.
Oh.
And then a whole lot of AEW.
I didn't know he was watching New Japan still since he's been so hot on the Mexican scene.
And one WWE, the Roman and Punk night two.
Good wrestling match.
Everything else is AEW.
Okay. Can you go through some of those matches? Because I can give you like 7 AEW matches, but that's not fair.
So you want the AEW or the non-AEW?
The AEW matches. Let's start there.
So the first AEW that got 5 stars this year was a Mile High Madness Anything Goes 10-person tag.
Nope. Next.
How about Kyle Fletcher versus Speedball?
Okay, so that's right up there for sure.
That was a random Dynamite. Revolution, Andrade versus Bandido.
That was a great match.
Yep.
A great match, yes.
Also Revolution, Mox versus Takeshita in the No Time Limit match.
Was that Chicago? Was that where was that at?
That was Revolution.
Oh, it was Revolution.
In March, yeah.
Okay.
AEW Dynasty in Canada, Young Bucks versus Okada and Takeshita.
Very, very good.
Good. Another Dynamite. Oh, we have multiple Dynamites here from the Darby run. Darby versus Ciampa and Darby versus Takeshita.
Darby versus Takeshita is one of the best matches I saw this year.
But even the Ciampa one, I think that was the first defense.
Yes. Takeshita made me think, though, that he was going to win the world title.
Yeah.
It was that good. So I would put a pin in that one. It's one of the best matches I saw.
Two from Double or Nothing, Cope and Cage versus FTR in the I Quit match, and Takeshita versus Okada. Well, that's Takeshita on here.
Takeshita against Okada. What show is that?
Those were both Double or Nothing. So a few, late June. That was the Takeshita winning the title and then turning on him after.
That was the second match on the card.
Yes, those were the first two matches. It was the I Quit tag match, and then it was those guys.
That's right. That's right. So I'm going to say, because we look so forward to that matchup, Takeshita against Okada, I would say that I'd put a pin in that as well as one of the best matches I saw.
Swerve versus Kenny from Dynamite back in February.
Good.
From Revolution, FTR versus the Young Bucks.
Yep.
And that's it for AEW.
Okay.
That's actually the highest rated AEW match, is the Bucks versus FTR.
That was the stars. Los Angeles, I want to say.
Yeah.
I think it was LA. I think it was.
And his highest rated of the year is Wrestle Kingdom, Okada, and Tanahashi. I don't know why. I didn't think that. I wouldn't.
Fine.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, Takeshita. When I say fine for Takeshita.
Sorry, I meant Okada and Tanahashi. That was Tanahashi's farewell.
Oh, Tanahashi. Okay.
Tanahashi and Okada. It was fine.
There are no 5-star matches with Tanahashi in 2026. That's nonsense.
6 stars.
Nah. No. No. The guy has one leg. I've seen him the last 5 years, and he's lost 3 steps. Not two, not one, 3 steps. No.
My also big takeaway with this, as we're going through it, is that is a lot of Takeshita. Like, we can talk a lot about Wrestler of the Year, and Darby's there, MJF's there, Ospreay's going to be Ospreay. Takeshita quietly having one of those strong MVP-type years.
I would say a couple of those matches would be on my list. I'd say Roman and Punk, because the buildup was just tremendous, the back and forth, but then the match delivered,
yeah.
And Punk just kind of ran out of breath. He was just done. And Roman wins the championship. I thought that was a really well-done wrestling match. I don't see a Cody Classic in there. I don't see that. I'm thinking of, and AEW's got so many. But I'll just use those two as an example. As much of a tag team marker I am, I knew that FTR and Copen Cage would be in there a couple times. So I like those matches too. But I think I can narrow it down to Darby Allin and Takeshita as a boat.
And I think it's also crazy going through it. Ospreay's not on there yet. Like, he's had some bangers, and we're going to get him in Swerve in a few weeks. The him and MJF will deliver. Speaking of Takeshita, we're still going to get a Takeshita and Fletcher blow off of that feud. Like, sign me up for that already. Like,
yeah,
pro wrestling's fun.
Yes, it is. It's always fun. It's always fun on every level.
Uh-huh. Just a whole different level this year, it feels like.
So you'd agree that your big match would be one of those AEW matches?
Yeah, I think the Fletcher and Speedball, that was like, I want to say it was Fletcher's first match back. And then the tag matches, like, they really have delivered. And then, going back to Double or Nothing, Takeshita Okada, like, Okada, when he turns it on, he's still got it.
Yeah, when he cares.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. There's a translation problem between Tony Khan and Okada. Now, listen, from Okada's standpoint, he's got to be like, man, I'm on the deck chair in my Florida home, and I'm having a ball.
Yes.
Light schedule. I don't have to worry about bleeding. I don't have to worry about 45-minute classics in a G1 climax tournament. I don't have to travel all over Japan. I'm just enjoying America. Yeah. I'm enjoying I can sit back. I can train. He's got to be enjoying what he's doing. And then the matches are light. He's stealing from the company.
He's doing great work.
This is like, you know, name the athlete that already had a lot accomplished and then goes to another team and just sits back and just enjoys the money that he's stealing.
Backup quarterback role, one of the best in sports.
That's what it is. And still, his half speed is better than some people with full speed.
100%.
Because it's more calculated, and he's a heel. I'm waiting for the babyface turn, and I think he's probably telling him, nope, I'll be a heel so I can just sit back and just take my time picking apart my opponent, because if he's a babyface, he's got to go fast again.
Right.
So he's like, he's letting these babyfaces do all the work, and he just there mugging for the camera and clothesline 1, 2, 3. That's what he's doing.
And he says bitch once in a while. That works also.
I'm going to speak a little English that I didn't do in Japan, and then bitch.
Yep.
And so long. Give me my check.
Good night, everyone.
God almighty. Good for him.
Yeah.
Man, Tony Khan is one of the best wrestlers in the world. And that guy is like, yeah, 4 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see you on Collision. Collision?
Uh-huh.
If there was an AEW Dark, he would have been on Dark by now.
100%, yeah. I'm surprised he's not the ROH champion at this point.
Even more part-time. Once a month.
Golly.
All right. I know we got some news and notes, and but please leave your comments as we continue here on Good Karma Wrestling. Please like, share, subscribe, and comment, because we appreciate you watching and listening to the podcast.
News and notes. A lot of smoke on social media this week. We haven't seen CM Punk in a little bit, and there are some rumors about him possibly being upset. Some of those rumors have been squashed, but of course, it led to Sean Ross Sapp reaching out to AEW and said, quote, never say never when it comes to CM Punk and AEW potentially mending bridges at one point.
Stop. Hang on a second. Whoa. Mm. Okay. So before we go there, what do you think the disconnect is between CM Punk and WWE since WrestleMania?
I think he's just old and wanted some time off.
So you don't think there's a problem?
I think it's CM Punk, so there's always a possibility that there is some sort of problem and he somehow is upset about something. But no, I don't think so.
I also believe that he's just chilling.
Yeah.
I'd hate to see the report. CM Punk sits home in Chicago because creative has nothing for CM Punk.
Yeah, that's insane.
Hey, could you imagine? Because that's what it sounds like, right? It's time away. And by the way, shout out to CM Punk because he had some really good matches as world champion. Yeah. And he wrestled on those tours. So he wrestled a lot. So for him to step away for a while and then for him to pop up on the scene, I don't know when that's going to be. Is he wrestling at SummerSlam? I don't know. But I read what you read and what our audience reads about a problem that CM Punk has with creative, maybe his creative or someone else's creative, and a problem with Triple H. I don't see it unless I'm missing something. What's the problem? Is it the way his wife was booked?
But he got his main event. He main evented night two. He was the world champ. He's done all the things. He went to Saudi multiple times. Like, I don't see what could have possibly ticked him off at this point.
But the never say never thing with AEW, I'll call it never.
It's pro wrestling.
Cody will be back before Punk.
They can come in as a team.
Team?
They're the new outsiders. They can build an NWO and AEW.
They move Tony out the way and say, listen, we'll book it.
Uh-huh.
The way. This is going to be so great. It's going to be so great. We're going to have you on Collision. No.
There's these guys, the Swirl. I think you guys do great things with them.
It's going to be taking on Jay Lethal and his group. Oh, my God. No. Shoddy Johnson. No, that's not happening.
Yeah, that's a big spot for them. But that's where we are.
Okay.
Speaking of AEW, the Forbidden Door card coming together Sunday, June 8th in San Jose. We now know the men's Owen final. Ospreay versus Swerve. Winner gets a title shot at All In. Announced last night, MJF plus five partners taking on Mark Briscoe plus five partners inside a cage. Briscoe gets the title shot if his team wins. And also, announced out of the blue last night, Kenny Omega and Zack Sabre Jr. will be a part of Forbidden Door.
You can tell Omega is winding down. We're getting that step. So he's taking on these dream opponents. Omega may never be world champion again, but he still has an opportunity to have some bangers. Omega said on a promo, was on Collision. They saw it all running together. He's talking to Will Ospreay, and Ospreay's like, I'm here every week. And Omega says, I can't do that.
Yeah.
What do you mean you can't do that? Because you're winding down, and I see what's happening here. So why not give us a dream match? Sure, Zack Sabre Jr. sounds great, actually. So it's the 28th of June, correct?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's the 28th of June. That's when Forbidden Door will happen. I can make the case that Forbidden Door might be the weakest of the AEW pay-per-views. I think that we could say that. But yet it might be weak, but yet the in-ring work is going to be great. I think we're away from the dream match situation like it used to be.
Right.
I think we can still get some really good matches out of this.
That's the weird part is like, yes, the concept when you first unveil it, you're like, oh, wow, we can do that. I think we're past that. Like, everyone from New Japan, they're like, oh, I'd love to see them against someone from AEW. Like, they now work for AEW. The CMLL relationship that's there, we see that on TV all the time. Even some of the Stardom, like the Persephone's of the world, like, we see her on our television. Like, we don't need a Forbidden Door. So I could see this almost being the last one of it, like, just change the name next year.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good way to keep MJF in creative without having to defend the title. Ospreay and Swerve will deliver. The fun part now, since MJF's in that, is seeing what's going to main event, because you don't have the world title on the line. They always default to that.
It's too bad that Mark Briscoe has been able to give you some of the most heartfelt promos the last couple of weeks, and he won't be World Heavyweight Champion.
Right, which is fine. Like,
no, but I mean, but it made you believe, didn't it? I mean, you saw him 2 weeks ago, and it's like he talked about his brother.
Yep.
About their birthdays, talked about like outside of wrestling and then brought it back to wrestling. And I'm like, damn it, that guy could have a Foley run out of nowhere and becomes a world champ. But is that happening now? Because no. Darby was stepped in front of him. So that's the problem. So, yeah, I saw this fracocta strange thing about the 6-on-6. And I was just like, okay, so we're not getting MJF defending the title.
Right.
So now MJF is going to have to find five other guys. It's probably going to be from the Don Callis family, yeah. One. It will not be the Jay Lethal-led swirl with Blake Christian and Shoddy Johnson. So he tried that. It didn't work. So yeah. I think some Don Callis family people, and then we're going to get the silly conglomerate with some other people to be on that other side. It's to me, let me call it now, that's blood and guts.
What? That's no, it's a bunch of people inside a cage. Coincidence.
I think they could turn that to blood and guts.
That's fine.
And by the way, no matter the name, I think we're going to get blood and guts in that 6-on-6 cage.
Yes, it's Mark Briscoe in a cage. I think there will be blood.
Right.
Elsewhere in news and notes, the Road Dogg was on Busted Open with, well, you on Sunday. Said he still loves wrestling and wants to do wrestling. And quote, I want to do it for somebody that wants it and need it, and I feel like the WWE didn't want it or need it anymore. He also said WWE didn't look at AEW as competition, but maybe they should have.
It was a very interesting conversation, Brian, with Road Dogg Brian James. We talked about a lot of different things, but it was so revealing. You could tell there's no ties with WWE anymore, the way he was openly talking about how it doesn't feel like the wrestling business anymore. It just feels like business. Meaning that who can get the money. Also, he mentioned this. See if this resonates with you. He said the way that WWE is booking, he says everybody is over. And he says that's not wrestling. Everybody can't be over. This has to be top slots, middle card, young people on the come. He says the way that they go about their business in WWE, that everybody's a superstar and everybody's over. But everybody doesn't win matches. Right. And he thinks that is backwards booking as well.
But they don't care about wins and losses. Like, that makes sense. I think it's interesting hearing it from him where aren't him and Hunter supposed to be buddies there?
Yeah, but he said that he felt like he was stealing money and felt like he wasn't part of the process anymore. I guess we saw that on Real, huh?
Yeah. It just feels like there's so many voices there and Hunter is sort of the one that like falls on the sword, but like maybe he's not completely to blame for all the struggles over there.
Well, we talked about it. Like, there's different irons there's different chefs in the kitchen, irons in the fire, whatever you'd like. that's happening with WWE, where even though Triple H is the head of creative, there's all these other people pulling at him saying, "I want this match. I want this match on this platform. I need the match on this platform, and we need this match because of this sponsor." It's a lot. It's a lot to deal with. But it makes the show and his product milquetoast, above average at best. That's a problem.
Yep. That's why we are where we are right now.
Yep.
That's it for news and notes.
Time for match of the week. And so do you want to go back as far as Clash at the Castle or Clash in Italy?
No, it was 2 weeks ago.
Was it 2 weeks ago now?
I think so.
All right. Well, I'll give you Alita Low against Orange.
Uh-huh.
So if there's not a T-shirt at the end of the day of how you know from Alita Low, then the AEW's not doing the job. That is over with me, man. He asked the people in Cincinnati, just one question. how you know. I don't know what that means, but it's funny. Yeah.
I will say that babyface run is shaping up to be something special.
That's not what was supposed to happen.
I know.
that's not supposed to happen. That guy looks like world championship material as well. That yeah. guy, my God, how you know? We
and get big a, pop for Orange pulling off the pants to have pants on.
Yeah, the tearaway jeans. Where does that come from? How did he get those? He's wearing two jeans while he wrestles. What does how? How?
I was a big fan of that.
How you know? Let's see. How about Sol Ruka against Lyra? Sol Ruka needs some wins here. I mean, she's yeah. champion, but this cannot be the Maxine run. Okay, she needs to start stacking some victories and getting that Soul Snatcher locked in and ready to go.
She's been sort of underwhelming since getting to the main roster. And I'm glad they haven't given up on her yet, but it's getting close.
Well, everybody can't be Lita.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I know that she's supposed to be the next Lita, but it's like the personality, I think it's coming across some in the promo, but it's got to be in the in-ring. But, I mean, again, Maxine had the title and she had nothing.
Nah,
Maxine started a promo and said to everybody, so how was your holiday? Like she's an office worker. How was your holiday? What is that? Ricky Saints against Carmelo Hayes.
Okay.
I can watch that match a lot because they're both the same size. Uh-huh. They both move the same. It's like an AEW match, right? Those two. I just need to see, is there another gear for Ricky Saints? Because, you know, I know that when he comes out, Brian, he's not getting a lot of applause.
No.
It just shows you that WWE fans, they all don't watch NXT at the same time. So he becomes a new character, and he's pumping those arms, bam, bam, and it's kind of like, who's this guy?
And that's it. You talk about the directionless mid-card. Like, he sort of feels like he's falling into that vortex right now.
So I think I like that matchup as well. Those are two matches I really liked.
I also throw out Penta and Ray from Monday with the Gable aspect. Like, I thought it was fun to let those two work. And Swerve and Brody from last night because, well, that's what those two do.
The main event of Dynamite was fantastic.
Yeah.
So there's a bleeding Brody that's out there. And he gets the pile driver on Swerve. And I'm thinking, it's over. And then I see the house call from the top rope from Swerve. And I'm thinking, it's over. And neither one of those are the finish. The finish is Nana on the outside interfering. I'm like, ah. But we do get Swerve and Ospreay in the finals of the Owen. Pretty cool.
Yep. That'll I'm bored work with that.
So we ask everybody to please like, share, subscribe, and comment to everything on Good Karma Wrestling. And, you know, our YouTube is growing every single day, every week, every month. We are growing because of you. So thank you so much for tuning in every Thursday to Good Karma Wrestling. So for Brian Rowitz, this is Jonathan Hood. Thanks so much for checking out Good Karma Wrestling. So long, everybody, from the Sunshine State and the land of Lincoln.